In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. We're beginning the Lenten Triodion now. We sang from it last night, we sing from it today. And the reading, of course, is the publican and the Pharisee. I want to share you a few things from the canon last night. Probably my favorite verse from the canon is this one. The Pharisee was exalted in his righteousness, and so he fell. The publican was abased, defiled by many sins, yet he was exalted, and against all expectation, he was justified. Now, a lot of times we teach about the humility of the publican and the pride and the judgment of the Pharisee. We contrast the two. The canon says many things about that. Our hymnology compares and contrasts those two. We know that without humility you can't be saved. We know that with pride and arrogance comes judgment and sends us down to the depths of hell. We know those things with our minds, and we can teach about them, and it's important to know about them. But what's really important today is that we have the path to true happiness laid out before us, quite simply, in one of the shorter Gospels of the year, and perhaps the most important. Now, I hear your confessions. I say my own confessions. And I know that most of us, we suffer from doubt. We suffer from a sense of hopelessness, despair, just a touch of it sometimes, but a little bit, sometimes a lot. And that's why this particular canon, Stikeren, has always touched me. Against all expectation, he was justified. Do you know what justified means? Most people don't know what it means because we have the pollution of the Western dogma, especially from the fundamentalist Protestants and such. Justified means to become righteous. It means to be changed. It means to become holy. God will justify us against all expectation. Now perhaps you say, well, no, I know that God will save me. And I know that the Holy Spirit abides in me. Okay. But don't fool yourself. The vast majority of us, if we feel doubt, anxiety, because of our sins, and there's a lot of things that we do or don't do that we'd wish we'd change. We don't quite know how to do it. We can't figure it out. It's a Gordian knot. How do we stop being irritable? How do we stop judging others? How do we stop being envious? How do we stop being dissatisfied? Arguing with our loved ones, having thoughts or feelings of lust. How do you stop that stuff? It's really hard to do. Perhaps we conquer one or two sins, but then there's others. And perhaps there's a vague dissatisfaction in our life. How do we become totally happy? Isn't that what we were born for? You know, the word makari, blessed, really means happy, but not happy like at Disneyland happy. Happy as in knowing God and being pure and holy happy. And the path is laid out before us today. It is just to tell the truth to God. Talked about that last night. We're in this period of the year now where we can just flat out tell the truth. We can just flat out tell God we're sinners. Because we are. We can flat out tell him that we have darkness in our hearts. We can just tell the truth. But God, because he loves us, will receive us when we tell the truth. And he will comfort us and console us. We talked about this last night. It's because we have a relationship. He's not a concept. He's not a construct. We don't justify our salvation through Bible verses. We justify our salvation through Jesus Christ. We believe in him. And he's a person. And he loves us. just like our mama loves us more. What's more, he can change us, whereas no one else can. And the path to having this happiness is that of the publican. To say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Sometimes to say our sins pretty extremely. You look at the Triodion, and you should. Everybody should have this book. This book is 35 years old. You should have it. And read it. It says stuff that's really strong, really dark for most people. Not for me. Not for Christians, true Christians. Because it's just the truth. There's darkness in our hearts. Let's admit it. Let's shout it to God. And he will whisper back to us that he will help us. And he will never abandon us. We're free to say this. The world doesn't want to do it. The world wants to be like the Pharisee, proud. The Pharisee had many sins, but he was not aware of them. And he wasn't really happy. The publican had many sins and he knew of them. And he went to God and he wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but he looked down to the earth and beat his breast. And he was justified, as the canon says, against all expectation. This is the take home today and every day. Admit your sins to God and he will justify you. You'll be changed. And those sins are going to go away. Not just be forgiven. What good does it do to be forgiven if you're still a sinner? That's terrible. The sins in my life burn me and cut me. And what's more, they burn and cut others. I don't like that. Do you? I don't think so. Do you want to be changed? Have you figured out how to do it yet? There's only one way. Humility. Going before God and saying, I'm a sinner. I've done terrible things. I think terrible things. I'm unworthy. But then God will justify you. God will give you consolation and hope. Now, the world doesn't know this. The world thinks that the things we say are too dark. They're too pessimistic. They're showing a lack of good concept of ourselves. It's not true. We're just telling the truth. We're just shouting it out from the rooftops. This is the kind of people we are. But God will change us. It is counterintuitive, even to people in the church, because we swim in this sea, this sewage of pride and self-justification and calling things that are sins not sins anymore. We swim in this sewage. Our culture is full of it. And because we're lazy and we don't read the Bible very much, we don't know much about God. And so we have these needs. This deep need to be loved, to be accepted. And yet we don't know how to satisfy this need. Do you know why you have such a need to be loved? Do you know why that is? Why it's important that you believe that your children love you and your wife or your husband, your father, your mother, and why it's difficult when that love is not there or when you don't believe it's there? Do you know why you have that need? Plain and simple, because God loves himself. And God made us in his image. And we are made to love and be loved. And love is to be completely confident. When you are loved and you believe it, you're completely confident that the one who loves you will never abandon you. That's a rare occurrence in human life. And unfortunately, it's a rare occurrence in our life with God that we believe it such. The publican, even though his eyes were downcast, he felt it. Probably not when he entered the temple, but when he left, God had given him himself, and it visited him. And even though he still felt terrible about his sins and didn't know how he was going to fix stuff that hadn't been fixed for many years, there was warmth in his heart. That warmth will never go away. This is the path, brothers and sisters. Plain and simple. Just tell God you're a sinner. Cultivate that feeling. But with that feeling must be also that God loves you and that you are important to him, that you have a relationship with him, and that he will never abandon you. That's how you figure out how to do everything. There is no handbook. There is no instruction manual for how to stop lusting or being jealous or any other sin. There's only one way to do it. Throw yourself before God. Say, God, help me. And he will. It fixes everything. That's the message today. Now, we focus a lot in our hymnology on the comparison between the Pharisee and the publican and about how pride casts down and humility brings us up to heaven. And those things are all important. But what's really important today is that this is the path of joy. The path of true happiness is right before us. It's as close to us as we ourselves are close to ourselves. It's within us. God is in us, and he will help us. This is the path. Now, getting there takes some work. But it's a foregone conclusion you're going to get there if you struggle. Now, what do you have to do? You have to cultivate a feeling of compunction in your heart. You have to learn about your sins. I guarantee you, every single one of us in this room has things we do and don't do that we're not aware of. Things that are grievous and horrible and terrible and hurt our friends and our loved ones and grieve God, and we're not aware of them. We need to learn those things. God will reveal them as we're able to know about them. If all of it happened at once, we would be overwhelmed and no one would be saved. But in time we learn. You have to cultivate this feeling. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it unless you read the scriptures, unless you pray, unless you fast, unless you come to the services. There's lots of opportunities coming up. That's all the technical stuff. That's all sort of the cookbook stuff that you got to do. And it's all important. It's all critical. But it has to be all done with this sure certainty that God will justify you because he loves you. All you need to do is say, I'm bad. Help me to be good. And he will. It's as simple as that. That's what this gospel is telling us. Humble yourself. If you don't know how to humble yourself, ask God to help you humble yourself. I'll tell you what, if you ask for humility, God will humble you. You better be ready, but you got to ask him. You ask him for humility, he will humble you, and you will learn. And there will be pain involved, but afterwards, there will be great joy. Because you'll have real happiness, not this kind of happiness that's in the world that's fake and a facade, but real happiness deep down. Nobody will be able to take that joy from you. Never. That's what's being offered to us today. And this is the path, real simple. You don't have to know a whole bunch of theology in order to do this. All you need to do is say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You have to say, I'm a sinner, I'm terrible. God, help me to be better. And he will. But it's not going to happen like snapping your fingers. There'll be a lot of adjustments to make. There'll be falling down and getting up to do. But this is the path of joy. And by the way, it's the only path. It's the only way to life. Because this is the path that our Lord showed us. But if we do it, even if we do it badly, it doesn't matter how good you do it, doesn't matter how competent you are, if you want to be saved and you say to God you're bad, He will help you to be good. This is not like some school where people below 70% fail. The ones that aren't that good get kicked off the team. No. All you need to do is say, God, I'm bad. Be merciful to me. And cultivate that feeling. And you'll find a lot of stuff happens in your life then. That person that really bugged you before, that you just didn't like, suddenly, they're okay. You're no longer angry with them. And that burning that was inside you, it's not burning anymore. You want to get rid of all that burning? You want to get rid of all that weakness, the anxiety, all of it? This is the path. Glory be to God that we have this. It's so simple. Now, it's simple, but we are way too complex. We're not very smart, but we're complex. And so we find ways to obfuscate the issue all the time. This is why Great Lent is a really good sort of checkpoint for us. And that is that we will spend this time with more zeal, with more effort. If you don't fast, start fasting. Even if you fast from only one thing. If you don't pray very much, pray some more. Pray a little bit more. If you rarely go to church, go to one extra service. Do something. And God will, if you do all these things for the purpose of cultivated in your feeling a sense of God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you do it for that reason, God will visit you. This is the path to happiness. Glory be to God that it is available to us, unworthy ones. I hope you travel it. Amen.